Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 15 is our first lesson. And the man and the woman heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The second lesson is from Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 18. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our third lesson is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7, and chapter 60, 1 to 6. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The fourth lesson is from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who were too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who's to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our fifth lesson is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35 and verse 38, and this is our sermon text. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sixth lesson is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The seventh lesson is from the second chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 8. And this is our sermon text. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The eighth lesson is from the second chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen, when it rose, went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The ninth lesson is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our text today is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. The sermon title is Good News for All People. Have you ever wondered why the angel appeared to shepherds on the night when Jesus was born? Well, you might think Jesus was the Lamb of God, So the angel proclaimed his birth to a couple of guys who were taking care of lambs. I once thought this, but the problem is that the angel said nothing about lambs or sheep. He didn't even say anything about the fact that his audience was a bunch of shepherds. Well, maybe, possibly, the angel ran into the shepherds by mistake. We know that happens in stories, but this is something that actually happened. And maybe it was just a coincidence, but I doubt it. Now, I don't know about you, but when my children were born, and all of them are here this evening, by the way, I didn't give birth to all these people, by the way, but my three daughters are there. When each one of those children was born, the matter of who was going to get the first birth announcement was planned out well in advance. Who is going to get the first news? Because you know it travels like wildfire. And if you've had children, you probably know what I'm talking about. My wife Carla knows what I'm talking about, right? Well, we planned this out very carefully. The right people must be told first. Then they have the first rights of telling everybody else the good news. And two of those people are here today who were the first to hear about the birth of those three daughters, along with your parents. So that in our family, that meant Grandma and Grandpa Noland here in California, Grandma and Grandpa Coleman in Colorado. They had to be told first. Those two phone calls were an absolute priority. Now, if we called our brothers or sisters first, or maybe one of our best friends, we would have never heard the end of it. On news that big, there is no coincidence in who gets the first phone call. And I would be very surprised if it's any different in your family. So, what in the world was God the Father, who was the proud papa that night, by the way, not Joseph, God the Father in heaven, what was he doing? Why in the world did he make the first birth announcement of his only son that he'd ever have to a bunch of shepherds in the Judean hill country? Did the angels get the wrong address? Did the angels' GPS go haywire that night? Something must have gotten fouled up. On top of all that, after the angel was done giving the announcement, then God sent the entire heavenly angel choir to follow up the birth announcement with carols, Christmas carols, to a bunch of shepherds and some sheepdogs too. And we have a great choir tonight, so thank you all. You made my Christmas, besides the fact that my family's here, but boy, did you do a good job. But imagine, just imagine that angel choir. Imagine their tone, their harmony. Did you know that angels have perfect pitch? Now, it's hard for us Christians to understand the role of the shepherds in the Christmas story, partly because we tend to glamorize their occupation. We've heard all those stories about Bible characters who were shepherds: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph and his brothers, they're all shepherds, Moses, David, the minor prophet Amos, and many others. And we have Psalm 23, which is the most popular chapter in the Bible. We have the parables that Jesus told, which many were about shepherds. And we Christians even have pastors in our church, and that's an ancient Latin word for shepherds. And it goes back to then, why did God make the first birth announcement to a bunch of shepherds? Well, it has something to do with who his chosen people were. From the time of Moses until the destruction of the second temple in 70 AD, the Israelites celebrated a festival that reminded them of who they really were. It was called the Festival of First Fruits. In late May or early June, farmers or anyone who grew grain, vegetables, or fruit would bring the first fruits of their crop to the temple as a thank offering. Now here is where we find out the connection. When each farmer arrived at the temple with his first fruits, he would present the fruits to the priest with these words from Deuteronomy 26, verse 5. My father was a wandering Aramean. Now, this verse reminded the Israelites that they were all descendants of Jacob, who was a shepherd by trade. Shepherds wander because they're always finding new rangeland when the old is depleted or when the seasons advance. It doesn't mean like they don't know where they're going. They're always on the move to feed their flock. Jacob was a wandering shepherd from the time of his youth to when he met the daughters of Laban in the land of the Arameans, to when his whole family moved to Egypt and they lived in the land of Goshen. The movie epic Ten Commandments portrays this correctly when it shows the people of Israel leaving Egypt surrounded by thousands of sheep and goats. The Israelites were then, at that time, all of them, originally just a bunch of shepherds. But there's more to them than appears at first sight. All a bunch of shepherds. But they are a bunch of shepherds who, some of them, had this eerie ability to see and hear angels, to talk to God, and receive visions from God. Nobody else in the ancient world could do that, but these shepherds could do that. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, found this out the hard way when he took Sarah, Abraham's wife, to his bedroom one night. God told Abimelech, "You are as good as dead. She is a married woman. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live." That's in Genesis 20. That's Abraham. Jacob then slept at Bethel, where his grandpa Abraham had erected an altar. This is Genesis 12. In his vision, in his dreams, Jacob saw a grand vision of a stairway to heaven with angels ascending and descending on it. And then his son, Joseph, saw visions and interpreted them to the king, to Pharaoh, and his court. A couple generations later, Moses, the wandering shepherd of Midian, Exodus 3, verse 1, talked to God face to face, and became God's personal spokesman and the leader of the people of Israel. So now this begins to make a little sense. God sent his first birth announcement to a bunch of shepherds who were in their occupations, symbols of 2,000 years of Israelite history. The Bethlehem shepherds, for their part, had been prepared by their own national history to recognize an angel and to understand what he was saying. What did the angel say? "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord God." The shepherds knew. They knew this from their Sunday school lessons, their Bible stories, that this Christ was the long-awaited Messiah, who would restore the kingdom of David and the welfare of God's people. After the angel left them, they had no doubt about who had spoken to them, For in verse 15, they reply, "Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord God has told us about." Now, when you look at the Christmas story in this way, it sounds very Jewish, and it is. Although Jews don't celebrate Christmas today, they should. Jesus' birth was originally made for and announced to God's chosen people, the Jews. And many of the Jews in Bethlehem accepted Jesus as their personal Savior that night. And they became, those Jews became the very first Christians. And they believed that the infant Jesus was the Christ, the Lord God, just as the angel said. Well, then where does that leave us and the rest of the world? And we are not Jewish. I don't think most or any of you are. And then we're left with the birth announcement, which includes everybody else. You have to listen carefully. The angel said, "I bring you a gospel of great joy that will be for all the people." All the people. Even though the news first came to Jewish shepherds, the gospel news was intended for all people, all around the world, until the end of time. This gospel news from the angel is what St. Paul meant when he wrote, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the eternal salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews, then for all the Gentiles," Romans 1:16. That gospel includes the message that Jesus was born to redeem you from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. So tonight, or the next time you see a nativity scene, notice who enjoys the Savior's birth and basks in the light. On the one side, you see the Jewish shepherds with their sheep, who have seen the brilliant angels, and they're enjoying the magnificent light of the Christ. On the other side, the Gentile magi with their camels, who have seen the beaming star, enjoying the magnificent light of their Savior. Jesus came for both Jews and Gentiles. And Jesus came for you. In your Savior's name, amen.